Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 32 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to talk about a little of the news that just came out of the Disney parks. Some good things if you missed it this past week. On top of that, we've got a new sponsor that we want to talk about. And after that, as promised, we're going to bring you some of the audio from the parks when Jimmy and Sam met up at Epcot. On this week's show, we have Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
Outstanding. Let's get started.
Good to hear from you. Jimmy from Once Upon a Time Travel. How's it going, Jimmy?
Fantastic. Glad to be here.
Awesome. We also have Jennifer from the For the Love of Disney blog. How's it going, Jennifer?
Great. Good to be back here again.
Yeah, good to have you. Jennifer's going to help us out with some of the news this week, since there's so many details that we've been waiting for. Before we start that, though, I wanted to talk a little bit about a new sponsor that we have for the show. Christy emailed us, and she has a business where she sells Disney costumes for children. And at first, I didn't really think too much about it. But then I kind of had some of the little flashbacks of when I had the little kids. Before we go any further, I want to read what she wrote to us. And then we're going to talk a little bit about it afterwards. This is from Christy. I have always been frustrated with itchy, irritating, glitter-covered, hand-wash-only costumes and dress-ups available at the big box stores and the Disney store. One day, while planning a trip to Disney World, I stumbled upon a line of machine-washable, beautiful, non-itchy, well-made dress-ups. I fell in love. So much in love, I decided to become a retailer for them. No more worries about spilled juice boxes, strange rashes from reactions to irritating fabrics, costumes that fall apart after one use. I have road tested these dress-ups in my home, washer, and through daily play. I have washed them multiple times, even on the sanitary cycle. Use your imagination there. And they came out looking fantastic, even the trims. I won't sell anything I wouldn't put my own children in. These dress-ups are above and beyond what you can get at the big-box Disney stores, and I think you'll be as happy with them as I am. I've washed these costumes at the Walt Disney World Resort washing machines, hung to dry, and they were ready to wear the next day. So that's from Christy at Mom Approved Costumes, located in Cypress, Texas. She has a Facebook page and a website. And again, when I read through what she wrote to us, I kind of had one of those flashbacks of my daughter Hope when she was about 3 years old, dressing her up into her Cinderella dress and not getting her legs into the bottom of it because the lace had already gotten some holes in it. So there was like 4 or 5 different holes going on down there, and it was a nightmare. And as we kind of talked about this before the show, I found out my co-hosts also had stories similar to that. So we wanted to kind of talk about them a little bit tonight. I tell you what, I know Jennifer has kids that are about that age right now. Do you guys use the dress-up, Shen?
Oh, we do. I have 2 princesses that have a closet full and would rather wear them every day at the parks. But because some of the reasons that Christy mentioned, we don't bother. I mean, we kind of limit it to maybe 2 a trip because they're kind of a pain as much as we love them. So I was really excited to hear about this product.
Did you have a chance to check out her site?
I did, yeah. I looked at it on Facebook and at her website, momapprovedcostumes.com. And I'll be honest, I kind of expected to not like them very much. We've seen some handmade costumes and some non-Disney store costumes in the parks. And though I can't sew anything, I still am sometimes not all that impressed, which is why I just don't bother. But these costumes are gorgeous, and she has a huge selection. So I actually contacted her to get a little bit more information. I have a daughter who... one of my daughters has kind of some sensory processing disorders, and she absolutely loves the costumes, but we fight every time we put them on because they're itchy, they hurt, they're scratchy, and she is almost afraid to put them on as much as she loves them. And so Christy said that these are comfortable. They can wear them around all day. There's no like itchy tooling. There's no glitter, which made me laugh because while the glitter doesn't seem to be a problem, my stroller is perpetually covered in glitter. And my girls haven't ridden in a stroller in 2 years. So I can't get rid of it. It's in their hair for a week. And so I'm really excited to check these out.
Oh, it's so great to hear. Now, I know when I checked out her site, she does have some event going on this week. I kind of looked at it a little bit, but I think you took a little closer look.
Yeah, through her Facebook page, which is also Mom Approved Costumes in Cypress, Texas, she has a trunk show going on, which you can find a link to and join. To me, this looks a lot like if you had maybe a home party for direct sales products or something like that. She is showing, you know, different pictures, different testimonials of the costumes they have. And they even have accessories and jewelry and costumes and accessories for boys, some adorable superhero capes and things like that. So she's kind of having some games and some giveaways and maybe running just some pre-order specials on Frozen dresses, which is impressive to me because I heard recently that, and you guys might not have heard this without kids this age, an Elsa dress sold on eBay for over $1,600.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they're impossible to find. Now, we just simply don't own one because I'm not spending, don't have $1,600 to spend on a Disney dress. But she has Elsa and Anna dresses and is doing a pre-order. And also, one of the neat things I learned from talking to her, you can run your own trunk show online and earn kind of a hostess credit toward purchases, and she has things like referral credit. So really some neat ways to get maybe some extra goodies for your kids if that's something that they're into.
Wow, that sounds really interesting. Very cool.
$1,600.
Yeah, I know. Well, and people, I guess you have to go to a Disney store and get in a lottery when they come in to buy one. So we haven't tried, but it's apparently, you know, out of control.
On the last show, we were talking about people waiting 4 hours to meet Anna and Elsa.
So, yeah.
You know, can you imagine waiting 4 hours to see Anna and Elsa in a $1,600 dress you bought?
Oh my gosh.
You bought your six-year-old daughter?
No.
For $1,600, I'd learn how to sew.
Right, exactly.
And open up shop.
Seriously.
Right, really.
And sell them for $800 and make a couple bucks. Right. Well, that's good, Jen. Thank you so much for checking out her site. And I tell you what, if I had kids this age, I think I would be so much more into it. But I totally see the need for something like this. There's so many different allergies and just so many different things with the kids being so active in the parks to have costumes that'll kind of hang with them. That's pretty incredible.
Well, yeah, and she has a picture of her daughter in a Rapunzel dress, I believe it is, and she's got this drippy chocolate chip cookie, and she says, you know, I don't even worry about it because I can just toss it in the wash, which my kids know that as much as we pay for these dresses, and we tend to get them on sale and certainly not on eBay, or on eBay for, you know, $20 used, but we don't let them really play dress up in them because they just don't last, the ones from the store. So these are machine washable and they can play every day. I am more than excited to check some out and I'll let you guys know.
Awesome. We'll be looking forward to hearing about it. So if you want to check out Christy, her Facebook page is Mom Approved Costumes, located in Cypress, Texas. And I believe that's the same name for her website, but you can check our show notes and we'll have a link there also. Now on with the news. If you haven't heard, last week in Walt Disney World, they had a large media event to announce some of the new things coming to the parks over the next couple years. It was a pretty cool thing because as soon as those media people got the information, we were getting it too, through YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. And some of the things we heard were pretty incredible that we figured that this would be a good week for a news show. So that's what we're going to do. Each of us took a couple topics and we're going to kind of talk about them tonight. And then we'd like to hear what you think about those topics. So don't forget, our email address is thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. And I want you to become part of this conversation, either here, through email, or on the Facebook page. So as I mentioned, there's a lot of new news stories out there, guys. We have news from the resort area. We have news from the parks. We even have some new travel news.
Yeah, and I was going to say, you know, that this one's kind of limited, and I don't know, there's not going to be, a ton of rooms available for this. But so right now, actually, as of this while we're recording, it'll be tomorrow, Disney has announced free dining through select dates throughout the end of the year. So this is the biggest promotion Disney runs. It's very, very popular. A lot of people like to take advantage of it. If you're staying at a value resort, it's hands down the best deal you're going to get. You know, moderates and, you know, it's still a good deal. Sometimes the room discount may be a little better. And in the deluxe, a lot of times the room discount is better. But for all you people that like to stay, myself included, at a value resort, there is no better deal than the free dining. So they announced that. It's kind of sprinkled some dates between the end of September throughout December. So if you're interested in that, please contact one of us at Once Upon a Time Travel. You can email us at onceuponatimetravel@yahoo.com. Look us up on Facebook or give us a call at 504-304-4904. And if we don't answer, we're really busy. Just please leave a message.
I saw that announced for the Visa cardholders last week. So I'm glad to hear it's coming out available for everybody now.
Yeah, as of right now, it's open for Visa holders, and tomorrow morning, by the time this recording comes out, it'll be available to the public. So I'll tell you right now, I just converted a buddy of mine. He's going down for Food and Wine Festival. I converted his September 26th through October 4th reservation at Pop Century from just rack rate to free dining.
I would agree. Yeah. That's a good deal.
Yeah, because I'm going to, you know, there's no, on a value resort, the room discount's going to be 20% at $140 a night. If it's even that during, especially October, because you're in the off season, so you're going to save $30 a night. He's saving close to almost $100 a night.
I think one of the biggest things that's important to remember, because for us, we used free dining once, and then since became, DVC members, AP holders, our travel changed a little bit with a larger family over the last several years. I think what you have to do is look at the resort that you're planning on staying at, the food that you're planning on eating, and have somebody, either if you like to crunch numbers like some of us do, or call a travel agent like Jimmy and crew and have them crunch the numbers for you. Because for some people, it absolutely does save a ton, even if for others of us, it might not.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, another thing is that you got to consider is, and the guy I did it for earlier today, it saved him a little over $600, and it's two adults in a room. If it's four adults in a room, the savings for free dining are even more, for room discount would be the same, but for free dining, they would even save more. So the more people you have in the room also helps the savings, because now you're getting free dining for four people.
Well, and some people might not have been getting the dining plan. And for us, we don't use the dining plan every trip, but the idea of dining and experiencing all the different restaurants that Disney has to offer is huge to us. So they might just get some experiences that are worth any price. So.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I'll be honest with you, me and my wife, we've done a few trips with the kids that we've gotten free dining on. And that's one of the biggest values to me is we got to eat at restaurants we probably wouldn't have otherwise. Yep. Probably wouldn't have paid, $150 to go eat at Le Cellier had we not gotten the free dining plan.
Yeah.
Sure. Now, four adults in a value room, Jimmy? Really?
Hey.
Well, especially Disney adults.
Disney adults is 9 and older.
That's true.
But Disney adults are 10 years old, and that's okay.
Yeah, I just did four adults in a Disney room between me, my wife, and my two kids. We're all adults according to Disney.
That hurts.
9 years old, you're an adult. Or 10, yep. Right?
10.
10.
10. Yep. 10.
And that's, again, where the Disney dining plan doesn't pay for us is once the kids became adults and started paying the adult cost for the plan, they never eat enough to make it worth the while.
Yeah.
Sure. So that's absolutely true.
But,
I'll give you one place the dining plan definitely makes out: character meals and character dining.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's definitely one place that does well. Because they're so overpriced.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ed, we'll go back to a comment I made a few shows ago where we alluded to the fourth FastPass Plus and what was happening. There has been some official communications from Disney, specifically My Magic Plus for Walt Disney World's annual pass holders, and some details on what you can and can't do. So just like the FastPass Plus reservation system, you are able to log in and select up to three attractions in a single theme park. That is true of annual pass holders. Now, here is the official word. You can select out of the next 30 days, 7 days where you can pick those three attractions, unless you have a reservation for a room. If you have a room reservation, then you can go 60 days out, which puts you with everyone else, basically. Now, here's the official word we were waiting for. Once you make your three Fastpass Plus reservations, so for example, if you're headed over to Magic Kingdom, we talked in a previous show, you can very easily do your selection for Anna and Elsa if you're on that 30-day window, which will eliminate that four-hour wait that we talked about before. You can do your Fastpass Plus for the Festival of Fantasy Parade and be able to watch in the VIP viewing area. And as of May 28th, you can do your selection for the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, a wonderful place to do those three Fastpass Plus selections, especially if you've been to the parks many times and want to see what's new this summer when you head down. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Once you have completed your three selections for the day, you are now able to go to a Fastpass Plus kiosk in the Magic Kingdom or any other park. So you could do this in Epcot, you could do this in Studios, you could do this in Animal Kingdom, and be able to select an additional Fastpass Plus based on availability. So much like the old system. You're going to say, okay, I'm at Magic Kingdom. We used our three. Now I want to try to get one for Pirates of the Caribbean. You can get your Fastpass Plus for Pirates. Then once you use it, you can get another Fastpass Plus if they're still available. So they've expanded the system a bit. This is what we've been waiting for, a little bit more flexibility. And I think it is great news for everybody. It really changes Fastpass Plus. We talked on a previous show, if you're showing up later in the day, for example, you just landed maybe at noon and you're headed to one of the parks. You're going to do your three Fastpass Pluses for later in the day just to make sure you get those reservations. If you're there and you're waking up at a monorail resort or at Pop or any of the Disney resorts, I would recommend that the early bird still gets the worm. And you want to do those three Fastpass Plus reservations early so that you finish them early and you can start with this fourth and fifth and possibly even sixth reservation, depending on availability. And that's exactly how it's written.
And I have a question, Sam. Once I've done my third Fastpass Plus selection, I have to go to a kiosk to get my fourth, correct?
That is correct.
Cannot do it from the app on my phone.
You cannot do it from the app on your phone.
You know what's interesting about that is when I was down there, the line for the Fastpass kiosk were probably as long as some of the attractions.
Yes.
So I don't know how much time that actually saves
you. This brings in some additional planning. And in fact, this started Monday, the day after I left on Sunday. So I'm going to ask our listeners if anybody has done this, because we know that the legacy Fastpass Plus, for example, at Buzz Lightyear has been removed and replaced with Fastpass Plus kiosks. But those kiosks are not quote unquote Buzz Lightyear kiosks. They're Fastpass Plus kiosks. So if I just finished my third one at Space Mountain, can I go to any Fastpass Plus kiosk and select any attraction inside the Magic Kingdom? I really think we need somebody to do this and let us know. I could see it's not like the legacy system, so I don't have to run to Buzz Lightyear to get the Fastpass. Why can't I select a Pirates of the Caribbean Fastpass Plus from Buzz Lightyear? Interesting scenario. I want to try it, and I want somebody to verify they can do that.
Well, sure. And saying that, then you have to extend that to the iPhone app or the smartphone app. Why can't I then do it on the iPhone app for my fourth?
They're proving that you're there. You're in the park. You're ready to go. It's like the old system, getting your piece of paper, but it's just electronic. It's not a piece of paper.
I agree, though, that they should open it up to the phone, where after I use my third one, I should be able to go with my phone to the app and find out if there's a fourth one available somewhere else.
Well, yeah. And that's the reason why.
But what if the fourth one's at Epcot? Right.
Well, the best reason is to go on the phone, because from what I understand everybody's saying, it tells you what's available.
Right.
So if nothing else, you'll have a list right in front of you what's available, and boom, you can pick out what you want. I'm sure it's going that way. It can't not.
It seems like now they're just pushing more people to the Fastpass kiosk lines.
Which are already overloaded.
Which were already yeah. ridiculous.
Which gets back to my question, can you use any? Because there seem to be more and more of them popping up.
I would think yes.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. That's something to watch now.
Because not every Fastpass attraction has a kiosk.
Right. And some kiosks are located, I mean, I'm thinking of the one that's near Sleepy Hollow in the Magic Kingdom. Some of them are located nowhere near an attraction. Right.
Right. There's one in Interventions as well.
Yeah.
So here's exactly the way that it's worded on Disney's website. And they call it, here's an example. You might plan to start your day at Epcot and reserve your 3 Disney Fastpass Plus Epcot experiences from home. Then once you've arrived and enjoyed all of the fun, you can head over to Magic Kingdom Park in the afternoon, go to a Disney Fastpass Plus kiosk, and reserve another experience. Then once you're done with that experience, you can hit the kiosk again and sign up for another, subject to availability.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like the kiosk is your option then, at least for now.
One other little note that they have here, when it says reserve your 3 Fastpass Plus and enjoy them, it also says or your selections have expired, which makes me think if you don't use that third one, maybe you, right, if it already expired, you should still be able to log in and change it, right? Can you change a selection after it's expired?
You could, Well, when I was there.
Once it's expired, isn't it off your list then?
No.
No,
would not. Still on
your still list showed it?
You see it and it's grayed out if it's been used, and it's not grayed out if it hasn't been used.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't try and change one after it had been expired, but I did change one after it had started and had no trouble just moving it to a different time.
We did, because we missed several of ours with changes in plans, and we were able to do it hours after, as long as it wasn't used. It's been a few months, but...
I tried to change one after I used it, but it wouldn't let me.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
I did hear a story from the park as a warning, though. Be very careful and be very confident in how you're using the My Disney Experience. There were people online for Toy Story Mania, and they were trying to change what their Fastpass was going to be for the next ride, and somehow they finagled it where they actually lost their Fastpass for Toy Story Mania, which they were online for. So
yeah, not good.
No, and what happens, I guess, is that you create a new one, and it just kind of pushes the next one off. So I'm not sure if there are warnings or not when you're trying to do that. But FYI, just be very careful.
Remember, although we have official word, this is still a big test, right? Nothing's officially rolled out.
Right.
So things like that happen, and they can say it's just a test.
I think what's cool, though, is that the cast members are so involved with their tablets that they just scan your band or they find out what your number is on your ticket, and they could figure out exactly what the problem was. Because when the manager finally came to help those people, that's exactly what happened, even though it took a little while to find the manager that could do that.
Now, along those lines, Ed, I did do a little bit of experimenting the last time that I was down. Experimenting from a time frame of how early does your Fastpass Plus work and how long after your time has expired does your Fastpass Plus work. I have heard rumors that it will work 15 minutes before your scheduled time and 15 minutes after your scheduled time. Now, here's what I know. It's pretty simple for the cast member because you tap your Magic Band or your key card and it either goes green or blue. I mean, it's pretty straightforward to them.
Right.
Now, I tested arriving 5 minutes early and it worked. No problem. Now, when I did that, there was another family. It's happened to be Toy Story Mania. There was a family in front of me who tapped it. It went blue. And the cast member, without skipping a beat, looked down and said, your reservation's good at 12:45, which happened to be a half an hour from that current time. So they had them leave and come back later. What was your experience with that, Jimmy?
It's my understanding 5 minutes before. I heard a cast member tell someone that. And we tried it a few times 5 minutes before, and it was fine.
So, hey, more than just 3 fast passes and multiple parks, that's great news. And that was news that was kind of hidden. That was part of the annual pass holder correspondence that happened. So we know what's happening there. Now, that said, I just logged in and attempted to schedule some fast passes for Magic Kingdom for this weekend. Anna and Elsa, standby only. Big surprise, right? Festival of Fantasy Parade is also standby only, but there's a fast pass available for the Mine Train on May the 30th, just after. So, hey, go out there and reserve them.
Okay, well, that's great news about the FastPass Plus. We can't wait to see what more news we can find about that, and you know it's going to change soon. Now, something else in the Magic Kingdom that took place was the announcement for the opening of the Mine Train. Sam mentioned 5/28. What was cool this week, and for this, let YouTube be your friend. There were a lot of videos of point of view people riding through the Dwarfs Mountain, and it looks like an incredible ride.
Ed, I got to interrupt you there because I've purposely avoided any videos online. I want to experience this thing for myself.
Excellent. Good really luck. Do. Good luck, because I totally appreciate that. Unfortunately, I couldn't wait for this one.
So the official Disney video, I did watch it, and it doesn't show everything inside. And I like that. It shows outside, which you can kind of see where the roller coaster goes. And great views of New Fantasyland. But once it goes inside the Seven Dwarfs Mine, it shows a little bit and then it goes away. And I thought, you know what, that's good. I like that.
I don't think I'm going to ruin your surprise, but my first instinct was this looks like a mix between Big Thunder and Splash Mountain, which is all good.
Agree.
You're going to get a little bit of air conditioning time inside, which is awesome. And you're going to get a little bit of excitement outside.
I think you could almost throw Buzz Lightyear in there too. Just because of the animated characters, they almost have that.
Oh, the faces on them. Official opening is 5/28, which we mentioned. And unfortunately for my son, he's on his junior class trip, and they're coming back the day before that.
He might catch a soft opening.
They're hoping. They got their fingers crossed.
I would think there's a very good chance he could catch a soft opening.
Considering it's running now, and they used it all last week, I can't see why not. So yeah. We'll see. So that's the news out of the Magic Kingdom. Let's move over to the other kingdom. In Walt Disney World. Let's move over to the Animal Kingdom because they had a lot of good announcements over there. I mean, we're lucky enough to have Jen do some research on that. What's going on over there, Jen?
Well, there's been, of course, lots of buzz about Avatarland, which is being officially referred to as the World of Pandora. And that we kind of heard about, what, maybe even a year ago? I don't remember when the announcement was, and they broke ground on that recently. But they talked a lot at the most recent press event about this, calling it Animal Kingdom's largest expansion in park history. They talked about the World of Pandora, which, if you haven't heard any of those announcements, is going to be Pandora was the world in the Avatar movie directed by James Cameron. That was a huge movie a couple of years ago. There was a video shown at the press event that had Tom Staggs, who's the chairman of Disney Parks, Joe Rohde from Animal Kingdom, and James Cameron. And they were talking about why they chose this movie. They said, which was kind of interesting, they said guests have always reported that they love stepping into amazing worlds that exist only in imaginations or film. And James Cameron had the same kind of idea when he created Pandora in Avatar, that it's this world that you can be completely immersed in and kind of leave the real world. So they talked about the importance of taking guests through the bioluminescent forests from the movie, guests being able to ride on a banshee. And the thing I think is the coolest, and I have no idea how they're going to pull this off, seeing the grandeur and scale of floating mountains, which I had heard a little bit of, but some of the concept art that came out of this video, I honestly am not really a huge Avatar fan and I wasn't that excited about it, but the descriptions they gave about the land, it seems to me like you won't be able to go and not enjoy it just visually. So I'm excited about it. And that's opening in 2017. So anyone have anything else about the World of Pandora specifically? Because I feel like those weren't a lot of new announcements, but it was really neat to see those three people talk about kind of their why behind that project.
You know, I'm kind of like you. I'm not a big fan of Avatar, but I think that there's so much cool stuff that they can do with that world that I think you're right. I think visually it's going to be pretty amazing, and I'm sure there's a lot of things they can do as far as ride wise to keep it interesting. So I'm happy to see them do something, anything with the Animal Kingdom to make it more than, to me, the half a day park that it is now.
Yeah, and really any new, I mean, this is, the expansion of New Fantasyland, but this is an entire new world that sort of goes along maybe with the Beastly Kingdom that people wanted for the beginning. And so it's really going to be kind of a neat, I think it sounds like something really different than we've seen. So I'm officially kind of excited about it.
I can't wait to see when they give some more detail and announcements how they're going to do some of these things. Like
right. The
bioluminescent forest, that's got to be inside, I would think, to have it in the daytime. You know, things like that. Once we start hearing some of those details, I think I'm going to get just a little bit more excited. I love the idea of hearing the date, though, 2017, which really isn't that far away.
It brings us to a couple of the other announcements, which don't have specific dates, but they did say even sooner than that. So it sounds like there's going to be a lot of things happening at the Animal Kingdom from now until 2017. So that might kind of help the wait go quickly. And as for the bioluminescent forest, there are, which we'll talk about now, some nighttime events. The Animal Kingdom, which typically closes much earlier than the other parks, is slated to start staying open. So maybe that forest is sort of a transition to evening. I'm not sure what that's going to look like. So I'm excited about those details too. But as soon as next month, there are going to be nighttime events at the Animal Kingdom. Had you guys heard about the Harambe Nights that they announced?
I heard it announced, but I didn't hear too many of the details.
Okay, this is going to be a hard ticket event, kind of like the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party and Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween parties at the Magic Kingdom. So the admission price for the event will actually get you into the park for the evening. You don't have to have separate admission. So that's kind of something to take into consideration. It is $119 for adults, $79 for children. Includes complimentary parking, which they say right on DisneyWorld.com, that's the parking starts at 4. So it's unofficial, but I venture to guess that like those other parties, you might be able to get in as early as 4. We'll have to wait until, this is June 7th through August 9th of this year. So we'll have to wait until someone goes to kind of try that out. But if parking begins at 4 and the other two parties at the Magic Kingdom have a pretty solid track record of letting you in at 4 with that admission, that would be my guess. But those are the prices for that. They also have a premium seating price of $134 for adults and $94 for kids, which I know some of us had talked previously about, you know, what's included in the price. And then you start talking about seating and it kind of gets even fuzzier. What this is going to look like is at 7 o'clock each of these Saturday nights, June 7th through August 9th, people with this ticketed event are going to have access to a reception. It includes Taste of Africa, food and beverages. It says beers and wines from Africa. No details on whether that's limited or if you can try and drink $120 worth of beer and wine to make up for your ticket price. I'm not sure. Someone will have to report back.
Somebody's reading my mind.
Right. Well, I heard your last show, you guys. It sounds like this might be the crew up for the challenge. So, but we have the reception starting at 7, and then starting at 7:30, everyone goes into the new Harambe Theater, which is kind of the first I've heard about. You know, they closed the festival, The Lion King, to build a new venue for it. Well, it sounds like that's going to open for these events, at least, if not for Festival of the Lion King. And they're going to have a special theatrical experience that celebrates the 20th anniversary of The Lion King, which makes me feel really old. I don't know about you guys, but that movie turns 20 this year. It's going to cover Simba's birth to his rise as the king, and they talk about having African story circles, folklore inspiration, as well as a live orchestra, a choir, and celebrity narrators. So it sounds a little bit like Candlelight Processional at Epcot meets maybe those the African story circles at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, plus maybe a little Festival of the Lion King. So I don't know. It sounds really intriguing to me. I can't wait to hear more about it from someone who makes it there in, what, like 3 or 4 weeks it opens. So
this is, Jen, really the kickoff for this new theater is what it feels like, right?
It does feel like that. And I tried finding out if there would be you know, show times for Festival of the Lion King during these dates or after. And there's really not any word on that. But with that show being so popular, I can't imagine that it's being replaced per se. So, yeah, it sounds like this great new theater will be open then. And hopefully we'll hear something about the show after as well.
Well, but you're also after hours, so they could still have their regularly scheduled performances of Festival of the Lion King during the day.
I hope so.
Which usually finish up by 2:30, 3 o'clock, right? Is that traditionally the last show?
Definitely mid-afternoon, if I remember correctly. Yeah, I was thinking one or two myself, but...
Okay, so then, yeah, that gives them time to turn the theater over, prep a place for them to have a little reception. Mm-hmm. It sounds intriguing.
And then honestly, after the show, I don't know how, I think the show I read somewhere, I didn't take a note, but I think I read it was about 30 minutes. And then the event goes on until 10:30. And so afterwards, there's an after show party that has street performers, live music. So Lion King merchandise and collectibles available only to party guests. So it sounds like they're really trying to make it worth that price of admission.
It sounds very cool to me just to hang. I mean, as much as I think the Animal Kingdom is a half-day park, it is a cool, especially in the evening time, it's a nice place to hang out. So I can see why that would be a great event.
The extra cost for the premium seating is reserved floor seats. So that's kind of the difference in that. And there will be no discounts available for these parties, it said very specifically. So typically the other hard ticket events in the past have had DVC annual pass, maybe even Florida resident. I don't know about that one, but it says no discounts available because of the limited run. So that's kind of a bummer. Now, but
again, a lot like Candlelight Processional, don't they have different people, different performers, or different narrators coming in?
Yes,
through the show.
They actually have released 7 or 8 of the narrators. There were only a couple of weeks that were to be determined. They listed Viola Davis from The Help, Montego Glover, David Alan Greer, Harry Lennox, Joe Morton, Brian Stokes Mitchell, and Patina Miller.
Yeah, and they're basically narrating the story of the Lion King, or is this, it's very intriguing. I'd love to see how this thing gets pulled off.
Yeah, the story of the Lion King plus African folklore. So I don't know. I think it's definitely just going to be something we have to wait and see. It sounds very new. I'm excited about it. I would like to hear more about it when it comes out. I already, tried brainstorming a way to get down there again just for all these new events that have been announced in the last week. It really has been a crazy week of news. So
what are those days again? What
are the dates? Saturday nights, June 7th through August 9th.
So there's a lot of news coming from Animal Kingdom, although I don't think that's it. What else is coming out?
There is one more thing that talks even more about this nighttime entertainment that we're seeing. So lots of changes even just to the way that the park hours operate. And this one I'm excited about too. Have any of you guys seen World of Color?
Oh yeah. The one out in California?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
In person more than once.
I saw it once and oh my goodness, it's phenomenal. And they're saying this is not World of Color, but it looks like it could be as cool, maybe cooler, I don't know. They are calling The Rivers of Light an innovative show unlike anything ever seen in Disney parks. So somebody even said it sounds like World of Color, and one of the people responded, it's going to have some characteristics similar to Fantasmic and World of Color. But what this is a nighttime show featuring live music, floating lanterns, water screens, lights, and swirling animal imagery. And this is worth checking out. I know the Disney Parks blog is the place I found the coolest pictures. There are concept art pictures that just look really, really cool. And again, kind of like Harambe Nights, just unlike anything that we've really seen, which kind of fits with Animal Kingdom. It's not the same, and I don't know what the show is going to include, but it doesn't look to include the same classic Disney characters, which we all love, but it looks like, and they mentioned it being based on the Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights. The person on the Disney Parks blog said that that's often known as Rivers of Light in the Sky. So there's hints at scenes from Brother Bear and spirit animals and Inuit legends and all these things that we just don't really see a lot. So again, visually, there's just a lot to work with. that might make this really neat. No specific date for this except before 2017. No official word on whether the Tree of Life will be included in the show. This will take place on the Discovery River between Discovery Island and Expedition Everest. So that could be really cool. It kind of reminded me of Fantasmic in Disneyland, which is kind of on the river right through the park, or World of Color with the new, you know, newer technology. So I'm excited. I think we're going to be spending a lot more time in Animal Kingdom just to check all this stuff out.
I totally agree. And I kind of think why we always say that's a half day park. If you go the three quarters of the day when it closes at 5, it's almost too late in the day to hop to another park, have dinner, and then keep on going. So if you get out of the park at like 2 or 3, it makes it worth the while. I think that's kind of where our philosophy of the half day. But with events at night, it makes it more the reason to stay in there for dinner and then kind of hang out for the different things going on.
Or you could hop to it for the second half of your day. It absolutely doesn't get any afternoons for us if we don't stay there the whole day, because it's definitely not worth, you know, hopping over for 1 hour after the younger kids take a nap. So,
mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm so curious about the logistics on how they're going to do their show going down that river, how they're going to have enough viewing areas.
Yes, that's a good question.
It's going to be interesting to see, you know, because if you're looking down the river, you have to be on the bridge, right?
Yeah, pretty much. It's well wooded on either side. There's a lot of vegetation. Yeah.
I mean, how are you going to have that many people view that?
Well, I'm sure it's going to clear out. Maybe a World of Color type of platform or, pavilion, flat, less trees. It's going to be great to find out, though.
Yeah. There's also some viewing. If I assume this is still considered, it did say specifically between Expedition Everest. So near Everest and the Finding Nemo Theater, they used to have those boats that did kind of little character appearances throughout the day. I vaguely remember this from years ago, but it's almost like it looks more like a lake at that point. So there might be a little bit of extra viewing there, but still not a ton.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be interesting because there is that lake by Everest that you're looking at across to the temple. Yeah. Again, I can't wait for more details. They're teasing us with this one.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, and they're not even giving any dates except between now and 2017. So tomorrow or 2.5 years from now.
Right. Somewhere between.
Like it's still blue sky almost. Like a big idea, some concept art, and they really don't know how they're going to pull it off yet. But we'll let you know in a couple of years.
Harambe Nights kicks off in, a month from tomorrow. So.
Okay, well, that's some great news coming out of the Animal Kingdom. And the last type of news we have has to do with the Polynesian Resort. And it's really odd in that there's so much news coming out of that one resort, and not as much from the other places around property. I guess it's the Polynesians' turn. One of the things that came out that I thought was really cool was that the name change. They renamed the hotel back to the original name. It was always known as the Polynesian Village Resort up until about 1985. Then they changed it, and they just decided to change it back. And actually, I saw pictures of the sign in front of the resort where it's already changed.
Wow.
So that's a cool little thing. One of the big changes we're going to see in the lobby. Are you guys familiar with the Polynesian lobby?
Yes.
And familiar with the island in the middle of the lobby.
Right, the big waterfall. And basically, the only thing you hear in the lobby, along with some of the Polynesian music, is the sound of the waterfall almost everywhere you are in that lobby. Well, they're taking that out. They're going to take that out and replace it with what the pictures showed to be a small fountain. However, what it does is it opens up the lobby a lot more than it was. And they're going to have, seating and things like that. Kind of like, the Floridian has that whole big area where you can kind of hang out, listen to the piano player. Another thing I heard coming for the Polynesian is they're going to have this Trader Sam's bar in there. They're actually going to call it Trader Sam's Grotto.
Yeah.
Now, I've never been to California, and I've never been the original one. How about you guys?
Yes.
We did.
Okay, so I heard two yeses out there. Give me some idea as far as what the place is like.
I would say it's like being in Adventureland and sneaking into a bar that's themed exactly like Adventureland.
Well, I'm glad you said that. You actually used the exact words, because in the article I read, basically what they're trying to do is bring the Polynesian back to its Adventureland roots. When Walt Disney World was first designed and they chose the three hotels around the monorail loop, they tried to theme them after some of the lands in the park. with the Contemporary, we had Tomorrowland, with the Polynesian, we had Adventureland, and with the Grand Floridian, we had maybe Main Street. So now with these changes, they're bringing the Polynesian back to Adventureland, and Trader Sam's is a big part of that. They're going to call this one the Trader Sam's Grotto, and from what I understand, it's going to be a little bit more family-friendly than Trader Sam's is out in California. Does that make any sense, Sam? Jen?
Yes. Yeah, we actually just had to stop in and visit because we were there with our kids and didn't have, you know, a sitter for nights out or anything. So we got to check out the theming but not spend a lot of time there.
Mm-hmm.
My name is on a bar. How can I not go in?
Very true. Very true.
But to your point, Ed, when you're in there, it feels a lot like a bar. It's a bar all the way around. Lots of specialty drinks. I know if you order some of the drinks, they have a volcano special that goes off. And there's some theatrics that happens inside the bar, which is really cool out there.
Theatrics? What do you mean by that? I'm sorry.
So I mean, depending on what you order, the bartenders will start to sing a song or start to chant and do some pretty cool things to liven up the place. There's also some artwork on the walls where a volcano will erupt. So sort of like that enchanted artwork that you've heard about on the Disney cruise ships that existed inside. It's pretty cool. It's a great place to go.
Awesome. Can't wait for that. That's going to be a really good place. Some other news coming from the Polynesian is that the kids club they have there has always been themed after Neverland and Peter Pan. However, that's going to change also in the future. It's going to be now a Hawaiian themed kids club. So a little bit more toward the Adventureland, toward the islands, but still, I'm sure it's going to be really nice. And the last bit of news coming from the Polynesian is that the DVC continues on. Now, this is one of those announcements because they really didn't mention much about the DVC this past week. However, it's being built. Everybody can see it. The rumor is 2015, and the rumor actually for a lot of these things are 2015 at this point. Who's to say if it'll be pushed out or not? One other note about the Polynesian, I understand they are doing some room rehabs now also. They're going building by building. I didn't really find where they are or how they're doing with that. So if you are going down soon, you might want to check on that. But still, a lot of exciting stuff coming from the Polynesian, one of my favorite resorts.
I was just going to ask you that, Ed. You talk about the Poly like it's one of your favorites. Have you been there before? Have you stayed?
Yeah, we've been there a couple times, and it's probably one of our favorite resorts. Now that the kids are older, we can't afford to stay there anymore. However, someday the wife and I would love to get back down there. So again, a lot of good news coming from the Polynesian. A lot of good news coming from Walt Disney World. Love to hear these type of announcements.
All right, so Ed, we talked about Magic Kingdom. We talked about some of the resorts. We talked about Animal Kingdom in extensive detail. We talked about Epcot last week. I'm still looking for more news over at Studios, but there's a couple of little things we have. We know Star Wars Weekends is right around the corner. We talked about Darth's Mall before. Previously, Darth's Mall had been located in a tent between the Rock and Roller Coaster and the Tower of Terror. This year, they're going back to its original location, which is the Hot Set right next to and connected to Toy Story Mania. So it's going to be back there in a location that already exists. That's where it was originally, so it's kind of cool that it's going back there. They also announced some VIP packages for Star Wars Weekends. Now, the one that I find intriguing is a package that's $55 that allows you to get VIP viewing of the parade and also VIP viewing and a dessert reception for the Star Wars fireworks that are going to be every night. I'm really interested in that. A little bit of more news for Star Wars Weekends, and of course, we'll be talking about that in detail in the future here. So a little bit from Studios.
Okay, awesome. Awesome news to hear all around the parks. Well, that's it for our show this week. However, before we go, we promised you some audio clips from Sam and Jimmy's meetup at Epcot last week.
So basically, I had my audio recorder with me, and after initial introductions with Jimmy and a drink or two and Jimmy's 15 Beverlys over at Club Cool, we decided to sit down and talk about what we were experiencing. So we were at the Flower and Garden Festival, sitting back in the American Adventure right in front of the smokehouse. I put down my recorder. I hit record and I said, Jimmy, you're going to eat some of this Baconlicious cupcake.
Piggylicious. And I refused to do it.
And he didn't. But there are other members of his family that did.
My wife tried it and she enjoyed it.
It was good. So we went from the American Adventure over to Japan, where Jimmy had his first sake in Japan.
I did.
From there, we went to Spice Road Table. Your first visit there, right, Jimmy?
It was. Very beautiful in there, too, by the way.
I recorded audio in both of those locations. Then we went to the French Bakery, and I sort of forgot to record. So I put the recorder on while we were walking from the French Bakery over towards the United Kingdom, where I had my first Carl's special, right?
Carl's combo.
Carl's combo. So now here's the best thing I found out about a Carl's combo. The reason it exists is because Stella and Bass are next to each other on the taps. So
pretty
the bartender can pull them back at the same time.
I'm sure accidentally the first time, and it just tasted so good that, boom,
right.
It's a special.
It could have been. It could have been started by an accident.
Well, cool.
There's a little less and less audio as we go through the different countries, but I can say this definitely sets the precedent for us to do additional recordings in the parks live, and I can't wait to do more.
I'm ready.
Seriously, let's do it.
We are in the American Adventure right outside of the smokehouse. Sam and Jimmy.
How you doing?
Jimmy, what's happening?
Beer flight time.
Beer
flight and bacon cupcakes.
Well, it's a Piggylicious bacon cupcake. It's the one we talked about on the show recently, so I had to get it. Jimmy says he's not going to have any of it, but I bet he will. But we do have a flight of beers with a compass in the center. 1, 2, 3, 4, which is pretty nice because I can navigate a compass if I'm looking at it straight. So what do we have?
So it's really cool. The compass kind of lets you know what beer is in what position. They give you this nifty little card that comes with it. So. And the number one spot is Magic Hat number 9 from the Magic Hat Brewing Company in South Burlington, Vermont. Number 2 is Maduro from the Cigar Brewing Company in Tampa, Florida. Number 3 is Fat Tire from New Belgium Brewing Company in Fort Collins, Colorado. And number 4 is Billy's Chili's from Twisted Pines Company in Boulder, Colorado.
Billy's Chili's with chili peppers.
I haven't heard anything about any of these yet, except for number 4, Billy's Chili's.
Spokely I went straight flavor. There. That's pretty
it's,
good.
Is it made with like jalapenos?
You can taste the peppers in there.
Oh, you can
sure.
smell it. It's got an aroma. It definitely has a chili pepper aroma.
Wow, this is going to be a long night. We have a Hertz.
Ooh, it's got a little kick.
It
it's got a little back on your throat. It's
a little bit. You want a little bit of this cupcake?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Jimmy's not doing the cupcake.
I can't. I don't do sweet things in beer. I tell you, but I'm excited about. I tell you what, that number 2, the Maduro, has got me interested because it's pretty. It almost looks like molasses.
Oh,
that's what it tastes like.
Nice and thick. So we talked on the show a couple weeks ago about walking around Epcot, and I'm looking at a map here with the 11 outdoor kitchens, along with the outdoor kitchen passport, which is pretty cool, just like food and wine, where you have a list of all of the kitchens, what they're all serving. There's a kids page here as well that shows all of the foods for kids.
I also noticed there's also in the front of there is actually a list of all the topiaries. So you can actually go through and make sure you looked at each one and maybe taken a picture of each one and check them off as you go.
And that's exactly what I've been doing. So the new ones this year, Spring is in the Air. I've not seen that one yet. I saw Soccer Goofy coming in.
Soccer Goofy?
Mike and Sully's Monsters Garden.
Going back to Soccer Goofy, what's nice about Soccer Goofy is it's kind of interactive. They let the kids kind of get up in, not in the topiary, but on the field and take photos on that soccer field.
I saw the PhotoFast person there.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
I've not done that, but I think I may go and do that.
Yep.
Mike and Sully's Monsters Garden. That's a new one. And Kermit and Miss Piggy's topiaries from Muppets Most Wanted, which we talked about on the last show. But I also grabbed the Muppet Bureau of Investigation game card. which we talked about. This seems pretty cool.
Yeah, seems like a cool little interactive game.
Start in either Canada or Mexico and make your way around, finishing in the American Adventure.
Correct.
I'm going to have to do that.
You know, it seems like this is going more and more toward these interactive games. You have two now at Magic Kingdom with the Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom and then the Pirate Adventure.
Did you do the Pirate Adventure?
We did three maps. There's five maps in total.
And they're all in Adventureland, right?
They're all in Adventureland. But there's five different maps, each with different little things. It's really cool.
I see you got the flight. Have you tried that spicy one yet? Is it
yes.
real
yes.
spicy? I mean, like...
It's got a little hitter in the back of your throat. It does.
And then the real dark one, is that Maduro from Tampa?
Maduro. Tastes like...
sort of coffee.
Almost, notes. Yeah, almost coffee notes. Almost, it's real thick, almost like a syrup.
Okay. Yep. Thank you very much.
All right, man.
Definitely worth a try. Jimmy, you are a wealth of information.
I know. What can I say?
Cupcakes, good. I just had a piece of it. Are you sure?
Boston things. you keep pushing the cupcake on me. I feel like because you don't want to eat it all.
I just want to make sure I'm sharing. That's
my
all.
Wife will be here shortly. I guarantee she will have some.
Well, she can have that half that I cut.
Okay.
For you. That's perfect. All right, so we got the Muppet game. What else is new in here?
Oh, going back to Pirate Adventure.
Pirate Adventure.
Very, very cool. All kind of fun, interactive stuff, from cannons firing and hitting bells and skeletons coming up out the water and places you wouldn't expect at all. I mean, all of a sudden, you swipe in your magic band in this location and a skeleton's coming up out the water. So they're
hidden pretty well.
They're hidden pretty well. A lot of them are.
So it's a lot different than the Sorcerers of Magic Kingdom, which is where you have to go to a kiosk. This is more hidden through a lot of adventure.
So you start out in a building. It's like the recruitment center. It's right under the little breezeway from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay.
So when you go underneath that breezeway, there's a little building to the left there. So you kind of walk through there, sign up. Cast members in there to help you out. They start you out with one map.
So they bring it to your magic band then.
Magic band or a card or your card or whatever.
Okay, so yep. That's pretty cool.
Yep. So, and then it just kind of, the cast member's there, so they direct you to one location. That location keeps directing you to about three or four different new locations. And then you're done. And then you can either just end it there or you can go back to the recruitment center and get another, and start over and get another map. And there's five maps in all.
So this Pig-alicious cupcake, it's got the pretzels on the top of it, which the salt just mixes right in
with the maple and the bacon.
Icing and the bacon, it's really good. And by the way, I'm looking at the smoker right over Jimmy's shoulder, and oh man, I'm hungry.
It's incredible.
The smokehouse is
you can
great.
Smell hickory smoke throughout all of Epcot.
So where are we going to head to next? Which direction? We're in American Adventure. This is where we started.
Let's head to Japan next.
We're headed to Japan.
Yep.
All right. We'll talk to you guys in Japan.
Like, you know, that's my motto. You know what? I live in moderation, but every now and then you gotta go hog wild.
In moderation.
Every now and then you have to have a Pig-alicious cupcake.
I dig
it. See? That says no to moderate. That's not moderate, but it's just so it's...
Thank you very much for patience. Irasshaimasa. Welcome to Japan. How are you today?
How are you?
My name is Hijiri.
Hijiri?
Thank you for asking. Yes.
So where are you from?
I'm from Fukushima, Japan.
So I'm looking at a list of sakis, and I have no idea where to start. Where do we start with?
Oh, what type of drinks do you normally prefer? Dry one or sweet one?
Dry or sweet?
Dry. I normally, if I'm going to drink a wine, it'd be like a dry red wine.
We are absolutely opposite, so I'm going sweet.
Sweet.
Yeah, so and he wants dry.
I would say dry.
Dry. So may I show you my sweet favorite first?
Yes.
My favorite is Yuzu Omori and Hanafuda. Yuzu Omori is like lemony orange juice.
Lemony orange juice?
Yes.
I could do that.
That sounds good.
Yes. And you're able to feel which flavor of yuzu? Yuzu is Japanese citrus.
Okay.
Yes. And Hanafuda when I drank it for the
peach
first
flavors.
Time. Yes.
So that sounds good too.
Yes, I thought I was eating peach and drinking ginger ale at the same time. It's very tasty. Yes.
Like eating peach and drinking ginger ale.
I could do that any day.
Yes.
All right, I want that one. Who wants that one?
Yes. Yeah. So, Hanafuda?
Yes, for me.
Yes, Hanafuda. The peach one.
The second. Peach for me.
Second, thank you very much. And then may I show you my dry favorite?
Absolutely.
My dry favorite is this one. This is April Special, Tenshin Yuki. It's a dry, but you're able to feel rich flavor of rice. Yes. Throughout your mouth.
Okay.
Yes. And then this one is also my favorite. Izumi Juda. It's extra dry. You're able to feel gin-like flavor.
Let's do the
Denshin Yuki. Thank you very much.
No, thank you.
Thank you. What kind of little shot glasses do you have? Do you have anything good? You used to have them, different little syringes.
Yes, we used to have that one, but we don't do that anymore. Sorry.
So you used to get to keep it.
Yeah.
So you came here.
Yeah, I came here.
Welcome back.
Thank
you very much. Thank you very much. I will. May I see your photo ID?
Oh, yeah.
Get a picture of this. It's ID.
See. Thank you very much.
Are you old enough to drink?
Thank you very much. Yes. And I will take care of your pen loop first.
All right. Thank you.
What is that? That's a haichu.
Haichu.
You ever had a haichu?
Haichus, no.
It's similar to a mamba. You ever had a mamba?
A song like that?
Mamba. Ba la 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 bamba.
I was waiting for you to sing something.
No, 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 no. It's a party ball mamba.
You ever had a mamba?
No. I've had a hand grenade on Bourbon Street.
No, mamba is candy similar to a Starburst.
Okay.
But there's one called a mamba.
Never
heard. A haichu similar to a mamba.
Thank you very much for patience.
Oh, that's pretty.
This is your card and your receipt.
I'm getting the one in the big bottle.
Yeah, he's got that. He's
thank
that.
You. How do you say thank you in Japanese?
We say arigato in Japanese.
Arigato.
Arigato, yes. Arigato, Mr. Roboto.
Yes.
No, it's story origamo.
What's that then? How's that translate?
I don't know.
It's never going to use this
word. I know. All I know is konnichiwa.
Yes, konnichiwa. Hello.
Konnichiwa.
Yes.
Hello.
Wow. How did you learn your Japanese?
Karate Kid. You know Mr. Miyagi?
Yes. Thank you very much. Yes, and this is the Hanafuga, your
right.
Honor. Yes.
Perfect.
Yes. It's really easy to drink.
Wax on. Wax on.
Sake is a sipping drink like wine, so please drink slowly and enjoy the flavor.
Drink slowly. Slow down, Sam.
And this is Tenshin Yuki, your order. Big bottle.
Very nice. Yes.
Oh. It looks like water.
Yes, it's like ooh. Water.
It looks like water?
The color is like water. Yes, those are plenty enjoy.
It's dry. I can smell that it's dry. Smell that that's
yeah,
sweet.
It smells very good.
That actually tastes good.
How do you like it?
You should try it. Like peach and ginger ale.
That's what she said. She was right.
It's very, this isn't really dry.
Where are we going next?
Was Pokemon made in China? Yeah. Japan. Oh, Japan.
Yeah, China's down the block, kid.
Because I hear people saying all
sort of
Japanese same. Books are sort of.
Where are we going?
What's next? Down the road.
Morocco, Spice Road Table.
Spice Road Table. We're going
table.
To Spice Road
we're
Table.
We're going to have some small plates.
Small plates. Disney, yeah. Sam's Disney Diary.
That's where
Caitlin, sing the song.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Youssef. My name is Youssef. I'm
from
Morocco.
Special Row Table. You're from Morocco?
I'm from Morocco.
Do you like Spice Row? How long have you been here?
I've been here 6 years now.
6 years?
Exactly.
So Spice Row, how long?
Three months. It's three months and a couple of weeks. So yeah, I opened with them. I used to work in Marrakesh as a server.
Okay.
And bartender, so... I'm
so
here as a bartender.
You like being up here or being a server?
I mean, I like new stuff. I'm always...
Changing with the time.
Yeah.
Okay. So when people come in here, they can come to the bar.
They can come to the bar, have a beer, have food, order food in the bar and counter. Also, they can go inside or outside, have it like sit down.
You're pretty much tending bar, right?
We have full bar service, and the principle is to offer to our guests food and beers and wine from four countries: Turkey, Greece, Spain, and Morocco.
Perfect.
All Mediterranean countries. So it's not like Morocco 100%.
So from a drink perspective, what are the specialties for those three?
Yeah, we have beers and wine from the country that I mentioned before. Also, we have red, white, and sparkling sangria.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so the sparkling sangria, it's just white sangria, and it mixes with the sparkling wine.
Wow, that's cool. So I went with the Special Amber, which is a Spanish beer, right?
Yeah, the Spanish beer is my favorite beer. It's a 5% lager. So it's a medium body beer. And also, we have a beer from Lebanese that I offer to my guests. They made this from corn.
Okay.
So it's very refreshing beer. And this 4.8%. The Almaza.
Is it a light?
Almaza.
So it's 4.8, it's not light, but it's... It's medium.
It's a light beer.
Yeah.
It's not a dark beer. Okay.
Not dark, yeah.
And what about the Mythos?
The Mythos? So Mythos is more fruity.
More fruity? Yeah.
And here the Almaza.
Let's do one Mythos as well.
One Mythos?
So the Lamb Sliders are standing by. You guys take tables in Wonderland in here yet?
For now, we don't take tables in here. But in future, they're going to start taking DVC and tables. So.
Okay. DVC and tables, you said?
Yeah.
All right. And annual pass or just DVC and tables?
They're going to take everything just in future. We just open. So
no, I get it. I'm just curious. Yeah.
So in future, that's what my manager said, that in future, they're going to open discount for everyone.
Okay, cool. I was like,
so what I have here, I have Almaza, Mythos, and Ambar.
That's rude. No, I got this one. That's what I'm like.
Take a little bit of those and tell me which one you want.
Yeah, tell us which one you like. I'm like, damn.
Well, I didn't know what you wanted. I was like, okay.
All right. Mythos from Greece.
You're like,
I was like,
all
right. I might be having a date.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. What's the next entree?
We're going to France.
Cronenberg, 1880. Cronenberg, Grand Marnier Orange Slush. Right. Look at Kim's face. Grand Marnier Orange Slush.
Susan will drink one of those. All right, we'll see you in France. All right, Jimmy, you just experienced the French bakery. What'd you think?
I think it was fantastic. The kids definitely loved it.
I told you just to head back there. It's not bad, especially in the morning. It's a great spot for breakfast, but not bad to grab a dessert.
Definitely a lot more room back there than I thought there was.
They blew out some retail locations. It's pretty nice.
It's always seen before. It's so cramped back there. But now it looks like it's, you know, terrific place.
Speaking of cramped, we're making our way across the bridge from France towards the United Kingdom. It's about 20 to 9, and the illumination crowd is getting... pretty deep.
About 10 to 9.
About 10 to 9. So what are we going to do?
Let's go to Rose and Crown Pub.
Let's grab a drink there.
Have
watch some little illuminations.
Have you had a Carl's Combo?
I think I'm going to. I've not had one. I've heard you talk about it. What's a Carl's Combo?
On the menu, they call it a Golden.
Okay.
It's basically Bass Ale and Stella Artois.
I'm in.
That's delicious. Actually... years ago, me and Kim met a gentleman that works at the Rose and Crown. His name's Carl.
Yeah.
He's been there for like 20 years. And he invented it. And on the menu, they put it as a Golden, but he invented it. So he calls it a Carl's Combo. So when I go order it, I call it a Carl's Combo.
Two. We'll have two.
Let's do it.
Hey, look, there's Winnie the Pooh's topiary along with Tigger and Kanga and Roo and Eeyore.
And if you look to your left, just coming around the corner, you'll start to see Peter Pan up on the top of the building.
That's awesome. Peter Pan up on the top with Hook and the Croc on the bottom. Gotta love Flower Girl.
Just can't beat it. Fantastic. Great time.
All right, so right now we're headed into the Rose and Crown. I see Pup. He's done for the day, I'm sure.
Yep.
Because we're pushing illuminations. So we're going to get that last drink.
Yep. Charles Conway.
Anything else?
Thank you.
See you tomorrow, mate.
See you tomorrow, guys.
What's your name, man?
Gavin.
Gavin. What are you making? Charles Conway. What is it?
Stellar and Bass.
Stellar and Bass. Is it good?
Yes.
Is it the best?
I wouldn't say it's the best, because I don't drink. I'm a rum drinker myself, but it's a good mix of beer, yes. I'm more of a rum drinker. I drink, honestly, I drink seasonals. I like seasonal Blue Moons and Sam Adams, like Oktoberfest, Full Moon, things like that. Love that.
I'm in for the Carl's combo. I'm good with it. Let's take it. Jimmy's pick.
Do it. I like it.
Okay. Well, that's it for show number 32. Thanks for listening, everybody. We really appreciate it. If you want to get in touch with the show, please email us at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. Stop by our Facebook page, The Disney Nerds, or The Disney Nerds group page, both on Facebook, for The Disney Nerds podcast, and Sam from Sam's Disney Diary.
See ya.
Jennifer from the For the Love of Disney blog.
Bye.
And Jimmy from the Once Upon a Time Travel.
Qua Harini.
This is Ed wishing you a great Disney week. Kungaloosh. See you later, everyone.
Quaharini? What is that?
Nice. Go well? Is that
Go
what
well.
Yeah.
That's from the Sapphire Eye.
What is that? Is that Japanese?
Here. No, it's African.
Swahili.
At the end of the safari, they
it's
said,
Swahili.
You know, here we don't like to say goodbye because it's too permanent. So we say Quaharini, which means go well.
I thought it was a Karate Kid reference.
That would have been good.
Good night, everyone.